Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. In this episode, Ayu Sophia shares her cosmic awakening story and her experiences with extraterrestrial and interdimensional beings. She explains the concept of the soul and the soul group and how her particular soul group comes in during times of great transition to help awaken and guide others. Ayu discusses the importance of understanding the bigger picture and our relationship with Mother Earth. She also talks about her early spiritual experiences and her journey of self-discovery, which included out-of-body experiences and encountering beings in different dimensions. Ayu delves into her cosmic awakening, where she connected with ETs and learned about the true nature of humanity and the planet. She emphasizes the importance of healing and activating our DNA to fulfill our potential as a species. Ayu concludes by sharing a channeled message from the Arcturians about the ongoing ascension process. Let's dive into this episode.
Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate. I am here with my co-host Amanda and a very special guest, Ayu Sophia, is joining us. And today we are going galactic with our podcast. Ayu is here to share with us her cosmic awakening story. So we're taking our awakening conversations to a new place today. And she'll be sharing with us what her contact experiences have been with extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings, and what they revealed to her about our cosmic origins, what we are doing here on Earth, and how we fit into a much bigger picture that includes our relationship with them. So, little background, Ayu and I met in 2020 through a soul-to-soul communication course. We were learning how to connect through mediumship and channeling, and have formed an incredible, beautiful friendship. And I continue to learn from Ayu and the amazing experiences she's had through a lot of her life, as she has had a very different life to most. And she has always known that she was part of a world beyond the five senses. She's had contact with her guides from a young age, and they've shown up through her teens and adult life to give her messages, divine assignments, and sacred tasks, or take her off planet for dreamtime experiences. So conversations with Ayu are always interesting. What I love about Ayu is in my life, she brings to me bits of information. She pops them out in front of me like a meal, this exotic meal. She's like, I just want to show you this, and you do what you want with it. And if you want to have some, have some. And if you try it, just come back and tell me what you think. And so it reminds me of when we had our first episode, and I think I said that, you know, as we have this podcast, there are going to be conversations that we bring to you where keep the door open, because there might be topics that we discuss where it might seem a little bit out there. And I talked about the smorgasbord through the awakening conversations, or the awakening journey, where we come to something where we're like, oh, that's different. Maybe you want to try it first time around, maybe you don't. Today is one of those experiences. So we're going to put this dish in front of you. If you feel ready to taste it, great. If you don't, no problem. Come back to it. And if you do listen, we'd just like to say, you know, leave that door open, because there's so much more to this human experience than we know about. And Ayu is going to share her incredible journey of coming to understand that. And so, Ayu, welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you. It's really exciting and an honor. This is the first time that I've come out on video to share anything about my cosmic awakening. So it's quite a big deal. And, you know, I've done quite a lot of reflection on my journey to see what wants to come forth today that will be of benefit to others. Yeah. So I'm a bit nervous, excited, and I do swear. So I just want to let people know that I've got a filthy mouth, and sometimes it just does get used when I get nervous or excited, or a combination of the two.
Perfect.
So if there are any little ones around, if there are any little ones around, or swearing isn't your thing,
be aware. Yes. Thank you for choosing us to share your story publicly for the first time. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm excited to dive in and hear more firsthand what your story has been, because it sounds like a really interesting one. So I'll pass the baton to you, Kate, to dive in for some questions.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Well, this is a big topic for us to dive into today. And so perhaps we can just start somewhere around, you know, this understanding that, you know, we all seem to have, or is part of the awakening experience, is that we are a soul. First and foremost, that we do wake up to the fact that we are not just a human having this human experience, and it's not just, you know, one planet that has humans on it, and we're the only thing that exists in the world, and we're the, you know, top of the pecking order. The awakening experience really does bring to us this understanding that there's more to who we are as a human, that we have a soul. So let's start there. And I'm going to just pass this on to you. How would you like to begin to unpack and begin to share this experience with you, with us, with our audience?
That's a really great place to start, because, I mean, my understanding of what soul is still evolving. Mm-hmm. Because I think when I used to read that I was a soul or had a soul, you know, I was kind of, this is like a blob of light, right? Okay. That's the soul, and I'm kind of connected to my soul as this blob of light, and without really understanding what that is, and what it, and so I would engage in spiritual practices around being in touch with my soul, but really not know what my soul is, where I am now with it, because I'm a constant student of these awarenesses. So where I am with my current understanding is that our soul has a certain qualities or essence, and it has a kind of purpose, and that is also part of a bigger soul that's often called the oversoul. And so people share an oversoul. And so that oversoul, if you like, has a specific sort of mission or purpose. And that if we just keep Earth related at the moment, that as humans on the planet, we don't all share the same soul group or oversoul. There are different soul groups on the planet, all have different missions. My soul is part of a bigger soul, let's call it like that, a group soul. My soul, as everyone's soul, is an infinite being, having multiple different types of life and lifetimes. As the human with this soul, I have access to all of those different lifetimes, lessons and learnings, and I have access to my past selves and my future selves, which is pretty wild. Plus, I'm part of a bigger soul and have access to all of that. So, okay, all right, that's where I am now with this understanding of soul, and I don't know if how much that resonates with you both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot.
Okay. All right. So now then, if we can, we've sort of mapped out a bit of what soul is, what I've learned about my soul and my soul family is, it's going to sound pretty nuts, right? To a lot of people, to people that are already on a spiritual path, then it might begin to feel a bit more familiar or even known. My soul family, my oversoul, my soul is part of a soul group that comes in times of great transition. So we're like a task force, is the best way that my human language is able to describe it. We're like a task force that comes in at times of great transition. We're the way showers, we're the teachers, we're the guides, and we help people to awaken and remember the truth of who they are. And this soul group is a soul group that is able to take on any form, pretty much in any part of the, let's just call it the multiverse, right? Or the universe. We take on any form. We have within our soul DNA, basically all DNA, all form available to us. So we can incarnate in any form, in any planet, in order to do the task of helping that, say, let's call it a planet, to ascend and evolve. And people will often be attracted to the term or hear the term light warrior. And certainly that feels a kind of a label that is part of this soul group, people that feel like light warriors, because we are this kind of task force that comes in at times of transition to help people to awaken and remember. So if we just take that in for a moment and go, okay, all right, well, I'm part of this bigger soul identity then, and I get to hop and skip around the universe, kind of, it's almost like we're an SAS squad or something, parachuting in at times of transition to help people remember the light and who the truth of who they are. And we can take on other form, and that we are able to incarnate as any type of being, then the fact that other types of being should, and I should be able to commune and converse, makes sense. But before I understood all of that, I was confused as to why I was able to have communications with all sorts of different types of being. And so just understanding that has helped me to realize, okay, that makes sense. I'm connected with all of these different types of beings and forms because it's within my soul group to be able to do that. Other people might have a more so it's kind of, it was almost like an interplanetary soul. Other people might be more an angelic soul. So they find it very easy, for example, to have a relationship or relationships with angelic beings. That's just a sort of an example. Whereas with me, it's like this incredible capacity to essentially communicate with all of these various different forms of being. But that isn't something that I knew at the beginning of my journey. It has only, I'm going to be 52 this year, and I've had so many spiritual experiences throughout my life that have been incredibly tangible and strange, that it took me until I was in the sort of mid to late 40s to receive the information to help me make it make sense. Because up until that time, I'd be having all these strange experiences that didn't fit into, I couldn't, you know, they were just so miscellaneous, so many miscellaneous spiritual experiences that I wasn't reading about in books. It didn't seem to be anybody else's path. And I didn't have a way to comprehend or make sense of these things, only that they happened. And so in my brain, I just had a tab, and the tab was marked spiritual miscellaneous. And so I would just, because I had nowhere else to put these things, so I would just put them in this little box called sort of spiritual miscellaneous. But it was getting bigger and bigger. Well, okay, cool. But that's where they live. All of these experiences live under spiritual miscellaneous. And it was only until my cosmic awakening that I was able to go, oh, now I understand. Now I begin to see the bigger picture on all of this. Now all of these things in my life that I didn't understand, now they make sense. And then what I received through all of these beings then that started showing up and sharing with me about the nature of reality and the nature of things on this planet and what was actually going on here, I was like, oh, it makes sense. But part of me was also like, this is so sci-fi, right? This is so way out. This is just so massive. And just going through these kinds of this enlightenment of feeling the truth and the light of it, but then also like the, oh my God, well, the, what, oh my God, you know, like the process of enlightenment and receiving all of this means that then all of this other stuff that you realize, oh my God, all of this information, the social conditioning, the programming, the way I've been told how things are, all of this is junk. And that means if I've got all of this junk in my brain, so is everybody else. We're all walking around the planet with all of this junk in our trunks, right? And the thing is that that junk about how we think things are, as opposed to the truth, of what I would say is the truth, is that contrast is so big, so huge, that navigating between those two places is a treacherous passage, because you suddenly are coming up against stuff. You're going to have to let that go. Well, if you're letting it go, then you're shifting your paradigm completely. And the thing is that you're often alone in that process of shifting into this completely different way of seeing the nature of things. And you're feeling often very isolated and alone, like all your people around you just think you're mad. And so there is a part to the Awaken and Remember journey that is deeply uncomfortable. And it's also a passage, and it can last for many years, you know. So it's in order to be able to embrace the truth of who you are, the letting go and the discarding, is the word is discombobulating. Mm-hmm. Discombobulating, to say the least, because it means you're going to have to kiss goodbye to a lot of your old life. So just in establishing then, all right, there might be a bigger truth to who I am and why I'm here, that I might be part of a bigger soul group with a bigger mission. I think that just that awareness in itself can help us to maybe begin to open to the idea of what some of these beings have shared with me. I always think it's quite fun, just for a moment, to sort of just step back from the planet rather than seeing ourselves on it, and begin to sort of just see this beautiful Gaia, Mother Earth, in space, and just to be able to have that viewpoint where we're looking at her, and just begin to see around that she exists in a universe that is just so full of life and form. All of those stars, all of those planets, all of those clusters, all of that exists. And we see it when we look up at the sky, but we see it from this sort of small little viewpoint of looking up at that. But if we are in that and we're looking at Earth, then we can take in that perspective of other beings and begin to look at what's happening on Earth as part of a bigger picture and a bigger story, and be able to hear things from different perspectives, from other beings, on what they see is happening here on the planet. We can take on board what they say, or we can discard it. But it's interesting to hear what they say, because in through hearing what they say, we may learn something that's of use to us, or give us rise to contemplate or reconsider maybe how we're looking at things here. So I think one of the first big lessons, I've received a lot of lessons. One of the first big lessons I received was understanding cycles of time. And so from their perspective, they really wanted to focus my attention on this 26,000-year cycle. And that 26,000-year cycle is the precession of the equinoxes. And essentially what happens is that where Earth is positioned, as we are just off this kind of little toe off the Milky Way, eventually we're just going to get spun off. But where we are, we have this constellation of stars around us that move in the sky, and it takes about 26,000 years. And this is where we get our astrological ages from. So for the last like 2,100 years, we've been in the age of Pisces. And that's simply to do with where we are, where Earth is in position to the constellation of Pisces. And as that takes around about 2,100 years, they will take roughly 2,100 years to kind of move. In our relationship to them, we're coming in now to the age of Aquarius. That will last for around 2,100 years, and then it will go into the next astrological sign. So you don't have to believe in astrology to understand the equinox, the precession of the equinox, because it's really nothing to do with astrology. It's everything to do with where we are in our relationship to the stars around us. But this 26,000-year cycle is essentially what it takes for us to move around all of these different signs. And we are receiving an archetypal energy, if you like, from that particular sector of stars. That's one way to look at it. So we've come from the age of Pisces, and now we're doing this transition into this age of Aquarius. But it's starting a new cycle here, and it's the culmination of a 26,000-year cycle. And according to my sources, I'll just call it that, all of the different beings that have educated me, where we are now, we are receiving light and energies from a particular part of the universe that are going to help us on the planet to ascend and evolve. And it's just a kind of a short window of light where we get this opportunity, if we so choose and so desire collectively to raise our frequency, that we can actually shift into a whole new level of light for this next 26,000-year cycle. And so we're at a kind of a critical window, if you like, where people from my soul group who come in at times of these great transitions parachute in as their souls to kind of go, okay, team, time to awaken and remember, this is it. This is our chance. This is our chance to lift our frequency, remember who we are, and so we can go into this new cycle of energy is a more evolved species. So that was a kind of a grounding into just why now, what is happening on the planet, why people like myself have incarnated in, and what the bigger picture is. So, okay, Earth herself is going through this transition, right? She's got an opportunity. Then we have to come to, well, I still call her Mother Earth just because that was what I've always called her. But really, she is a planetary being. She's called Gaia. And Gaia herself is a being, a massive, massive planetary being. And she's got her own path. She's becoming a star, right? That's her path. Now, right now, we're all humans are having a human type of experience living on Earth. But she is her own being with her own path and destiny. And so also, as humans, we've kind of, many people have lost touch with Earth, with Mother Earth, with Gaia, and are creating a misalignment of energy, let's call it. And so she's having to kind of detoxify in some ways, right? As she's going through her own ascension process. And we're also going through our ascension process as souls. And so we're in a symbiotic relationship with her. But it's also important to remember that she's her own being. And start considering our relationship with her. Because that's a fundamental part as well of what we're awakening to and remembering. And in our current climate, a lot of that's being co-opted. And so I think an invitation from me to anyone who's listening is to really just get quiet, go and spend some time with her and just open your heart and see what does she have to say to you. Rather than listening over here to here and all of these voices telling us what we should be doing for the planet. No, no, no. You ask them. Actually ask her. She is a being. She will answer. If you ask with an open heart, ask her what she wants you to do. So I'll just leave that one there. But I feel it's quite important to establish some of these fundamental learnings, for me at least, as then I think we can begin to unpack some of the more galactic influences. So let's go back to then this, and I'll just stop for a moment and just see, because obviously I'm just on a massive like but do you have, you know, is there anything you want to?
There was a lot there, and I think it's a great overview and introduction. I really loved how you had us zooming out from Earth and kind of getting perspective. I think that is a great introduction to, if you don't mind sharing your experience connecting with other beings, like how did this happen for you in your life? Just tell us a bit about that story, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I didn't grow up in a family where spirituality or God or religion was really a part of my childhood. So it was something that I sought out and I was interested in. It wasn't something that my family pushed on me or forced on me. And from a really young age, I just always felt so connected to nature and to all of the animals. And so I already felt that they were my family. And I had a really, really challenging family background. So I was, everything you don't want to happen to you happened to me before the age of 17. And so it was very challenging. And I didn't have a mum and a dad that I felt safe with. I didn't have anyone in my life that I felt safe with. And so I had this connection with Mother Earth, with the ocean. And that was my mother. The ocean was my mother. So I would speak to the ocean like she was my mother. And because I didn't have any ideas really about God or anything like that, it was just Mother Earth and ocean, nature. Is everything to me. So I already had that kind of connection, and I was already kind of stepping outside to seek my own wisdom, my own truth, because I wasn't getting it from adults. Let's just put it like that. Adults, they were just in the bracket of, you what? You don't really have anything useful to share with me. So I was that kind of kid. I went into foster care when I was 11. And I remember in foster care, I think one of the reasons my guides came in at that particular time was because it was my first night in foster care. And I had initiated going into foster care because I had smashed up the kitchen and said, I can't take this anymore. Get me out of here. And so social services came round and I was put into foster care. So I'd initiated that myself. I think probably I was just at that kind of point where I could have made a choice in life that would have taken me down a different path. And my guides came in at that point and they spoke to me really about possibility. And they said, nothing is impossible. Whatever you want to do in life, whatever your dream is, you can do it. And so they instilled that belief in me, a powerful belief in me that made me realize it doesn't matter my circumstances. If I focus on a goal, I can make it happen. Anything is possible for me in my life. So that was a really powerful thing that happened to me when I was 11. Also, prior to that happening, which is quite funny, my mum and dad, they were divorced from a very young age. And I was just living with my mum, who had terrible mental health problems. And we used to have her family come in. We had connected with her family, but not really my father's family. And on my mum's side, we're Jewish. So I'm Jewish by birth because it comes through the matriarchal line. And so my family growing up was Jewish, even though my mum doesn't believe. But I still had that Jewish influence. But I had a desire to make extra pocket money. And I had been invited to sing in the church choir at weddings. And I would get 50 pence because I grew up in England. I get 50 pence for singing at a wedding. And so this was big money because my pocket money was only like 10p a week. So 50p was like five times the amount. So I was like, I'm going to sing. And so I had been singing in this church choir, getting paid for it. And this was my introduction to, you know, religion. And I loved it, right? Because I wanted to know all about God, because God meant something to me. And so much to my family, my Jewish family's and my mum's horror and despair, I chose to got confirmed in the Christian faith at the age of 11 and became a Christian. And so, again, that was kind of me just on my own bat from a very early age, just choosing something. I remember going to this convent, and I tell you, I just loved it. It was this gorgeous walled kind of convent full of these lovely nuns. And they were living their life in devotion to God and just gardening, like planting these beautiful Victorian kind of walled gardens. And I just thought, oh, I want to be a nun. I just want to spend my days in appreciation and devotion of God, gardening, doing what, you know, working with nature. And I came back. I remember my mum was absolutely horrified. She was like, oh, my God, what are they doing to her? But as much as I loved the Christian faith and I loved that feeling of God and godliness and devotion, when I realized that you couldn't have like women vicars or priests or whatever, I was like, what? This doesn't fit with me at all. And so I abandoned that. I chucked that out. But my relationship with kind of God and spirit was real. But as for all of the trimmings, you know, that was just discarded. I had an interest in, I think I got like an Encyclopedia Britannica or one of these Reader's Digest, you know, because I grew up in the days before the internet, right, where it was just books and libraries and, you know, crappy black and white TV that you rented or whatever. And I remember seeing things about the supernatural and telepathy. And being absolutely like, wow, what is this? I want to learn all about this. And so I would take myself off as a kid to the library and I would look in the adult section for all the books on the occult and the supernatural. And I was reading all of this stuff, right? As a child, thinking, this is great. I love all of this. And so I already as I said, just through my connection with nature, feeling connected to all of that, with this interest in things like telepathy and whatnot, and ghosts and all of that kind of stuff, it was just very real to me. And I had an astral out-of-body experience when I was 15, which was absolutely wild, because I left my body and I went in through this massive strange tunnel. It was like something out of Space Odyssey, when you just kind of go through the shooting through this tunnel and then you pop out somewhere. And I just popped out in this different dimension. And I was no longer in my body, but I knew, you know, I was somewhere else. But I just was formless. But what was shocking to me is that wherever I popped out was like some sort of lower astral dimensions, not somewhere where you really want to go and visit, because there were beings around me, and some of them were like, and I could feel and sense them, and they could feel and sense me. And I thought, well, number one, I don't think I should be here. Number two, they know that I really shouldn't be here as well, and I'm attracting beings, right? And some of them have got ill intent towards me, and you can feel it, right? You know, okay, so you can feel when a being is kind of, and I was like, and I, where's my body? And what if they try and get into my body? You know, I was only 15, right? So this was quite a shocking experience. And when I did eventually get back into my body, and I realized none of the adults knew what had happened to me, I realized these guys are just fools, right? They've got nothing. They've got nothing to share with me, right? But I knew that I had had an experience of going into a different dimension. And so that set up a kind of a new interest. And lots of very strange things happened. Again, before the age of 16, I was a fully paid up member of the pagan society. I just went down the rabbit hole as much as I could at that young age. And I connected with the people that I needed to connect with to be able to begin to understand what was going on. And at the age of 17, I was in such a dark place in my life and my family life and everything else, that I decided that I just couldn't go on anymore. So I was going to commit suicide. That was when I had a spiritual intervention that was going to set up the next piece of my life for the next decade. I'm there thinking about doing the act because I just can't go on anymore. Life has just been so painful, because it has been just such a painful life. And I just can't, I just have, what's the point? What is the point? What is the point of all? I couldn't say that there was a point. And so there I am, about to, you know, do the act or whatever. And I had a spiritual intervention. And it was as clear as anything, a voice coming in and answering my question of, like, you know, I was having my own internal dialogue, right, of what is the point? And like a voice comes in and I'm like, well, what is the point? You know, I was just upset and angry. What is the point? You know, what is the point of it all? And, you know, why am I here? I was like, you're here to shine a light on the darkness. It's like, and I had no idea what that meant, right? But the truth of it just went, and it was like, yes, I need to be a journalist. I am going to go around and I am going to shine a light on all of these dark things in my life, right? All of this pain that I've experienced. People need to know, right? I'm going to be a journalist and I'm going to shine a light on it all, okay? And so in a snapshot, that was what, this is why I'm still here. And so I chose life and I chose this path. And from that age, from 17 to 27, I had a meteoric media career. I pretty much went and worked for a newspaper just shortly after that. I'm going to be a journalist. And so I spent the next 10 years really just going from someone who at that point was basically suicidal and homeless from a broken home. All of the stuff, had left school without, you know, proper any qualifications, and ended up at the age of 27, having already, you know, done some stuff for the BBC, but actually being employed by ITN, which in the UK, the legacy media, the big news organizations were, you had the BBC and then you had ITN. those were the big ones. And there I was working in the ITN newsroom at the age of 27, right, as a journalist in mainstream media. And so I had achieved what I set out to achieve. Now I was in a position where I could go and shine a light on the darkness. And what I discovered there, which is a different part, really, was just got very, very disillusioned because I realized, oh, my God, this isn't what the news is about at all. We're just an arm of the propaganda. We're just spewing out lies. And it was a very disillusioned, you know, process of absolute disillusion. Because I spent the last 10 years doing everything I could to suddenly be in a position where I could shine a light. And I realized, oh, my God, this isn't what the media is. And so at that point, I was really broken and lost and confused again. And that was really when my spiritual path really opened up for me. And from that point on, I've just had different chapters and different layers of experience. They'll often just kind of come. What happens to me, my team have kind of explained it all to me, is I just get given a divine assignment and I'll get activated in whatever DNA activation I need to happen in order to be able to complete that assignment, a divine assignment. And so I'll give you a kind of a strange example. In 2015, I was living in Sydney by this point, and I was in a steady relationship with my fiance. He was away in, I can't remember where it was, Hong Kong or something. And I was just lying on the sofa and I just got my laptop out and whatnot and, you know, browsing. And suddenly this voice just comes in from nowhere. And because I've got my laptop out, I just open a fresh page and I just start transcribing and dictating this voice that's coming through. And I'm like, what? I was like, yes, you are going to run a program now that is going to help women heal from their past life wounds. It's going to be called Coming Full Circle. It's going to be this. You won't need to do any marketing. These women have all decided. Their higher selves have already decided. So don't worry about anything like that. You're going to do this, this, and this. I was like, you what? I don't even know that I believe in past lives, right? Do you know what I mean? I don't have what it takes to do this. I'm like, yes, you do. You've just got the right energy for it. And this is your assignment. And I was just like, oh, my God, what am I going to do about this? I thought, well, it's not every day that, you know, it's not every day that this sort of thing happens. But when I thought back to earlier times in my life where loads of other voices and guidance and everything has happened and I've listened to it and followed it, I was like, well, when you have listened and followed your guidance at other times of your life, it's all, you know, being quite cool and exciting. So it's not every day. Go on, give it a go. So I just thought, okay, I'll do it. If they believe that I can do it, I'll do it. And so I did. I just ran this. I followed all the steps, did all the gubbins and put this thing out there. And I had 12 women paying me, you know, $1,200 in order to participate in this program. And I just essentially showed up. It went over about 6 or 8 weeks. And I was just channeling the entire thing just out of nowhere. So I was like, that's wild. That's absolutely wild. But so these sorts of things had already happened in my life before my cosmic awakening. But again, I just put them in the tab marked spiritual miscellaneous. Like another time, just quickly share this one with you. This time I was living in New Zealand and I was in my bedroom and I was just dusting. And the next minute, I became transfixed by a dot on the wall and I just looked at it and I went into this trance. And the next thing, this whole, like a tube or a tunnel of like turquoise aqua light came down and around me. And I was just in my bedroom, but in this kind of tube of aqua turquoise light. And it's my favorite color. So I felt very happy indeed because I was like having this lovely color bath. So I wasn't scared or anything. And the next minute I hear this voice go, these beings introducing themselves to me, going, hello, we're the water people. And as I have this connection with water, the element, I felt very comfortable with that. So I was like, this was my first real experience of like telepathy with other beings. And and they came really to teach me about telepathy. I said, how is it that I'm hearing you? And they're like, we're using telepathy. I was like, oh, my God, telepathy is real. You know, this is so exciting. Yes, it's real. This is how we speak to each other in the rest of the universe. We use telepathy. I was like, oh, wow. That's so cool. So there'd already been this lots of random experiences. And there's just a bit of a real, okay, just ones that wanted to pop out before ETs started showing up for me. And that came about as by this point, my life was very peculiar. The fiance that I had been living with in Sydney when I brought through the, you know, weight helping all these women heal from past life wounds, getting in the way of them sharing their light today or what have you. We'd been together for like 7 years and the relationship had ended. And by this point, I'd lived in 3 countries. I'd lived in England, I'd lived in New Zealand, and I'd lived in Australia. And I think I was 44 years old and, you know, starting again. And I just didn't even know. I mean, I was like, none of those countries, Australia, New Zealand, I didn't want it. None of them felt right. I didn't have much money. I didn't know what to do. And then someone said, oh, I've got a friend of mine. She's a healer in Bali and she needs someone to pet sit for her. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll just go over there and maybe I can try and figure out what next to do in life because I'm kind of a bit broken, lost and confused at the moment. So I ended up going and doing this pet sit in Bali, which ended up being 3.5 years, not pet sitting her property. But ended up this relationship with me living in Bali for 3.5 years. And this must have, again, been just part of my soul contract, right? Because what happened to me, again, is not a typical experience. But I reconnected with my past life family, who were, I'm just going to call them traditional Balinese shaman. This was the first time I'd had an experience of living in a culture that wasn't a Western culture, right? And I was living in a little shack on the beach. That was my home for 3.5 years. And next door to me was my temple, where I would go and practice for 2.5, 3 hours every day. A traditional, you have to do a lot of cleansing and ritual baths and all sorts of stuff before you step into temple. And you have to do all the rituals. And it's really highly involved, you know, using young coconuts. Or there's all, you know, rice, petals, dupa, which is the incense. It's a beautiful, but it's not really translatable over here because we don't have, you know, I don't have young coconuts. I don't have all of that. But for the time that I was in Bali, I was studying something called Wahyu Agung. Well, Wahyu means powerful and revelation. And Agung means big one. Okay, all right then. And I'm working with a deity. I'm working with a being that is from those particular islands. So we're talking about someone who was once a human, who attained the power of the gods and now works with humans to help them. I was working in a school, like this is a temple training school. Just kind of go, oh, all right, Hogwarts. Okay, I was at Hogwarts. So I'd gone in though, not like just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to me. It was so exciting. So exciting. I'd like to show up to temple and I would have these gifts activated, these wahyus. These wahyus would be activated within me. And the next thing I'd be like rocking, going into trances, being able to heal, do all sorts of stuff. Like with me, I had like the finger of fire. That was one of like the gifts that was activated in me. But literally I would just be like sitting and I'd just be like rocking backward and forward. My finger of fire would be like going off and I'd be like channeling and bringing through all of these different beings. And basically I had like a telephone connection. It was like whoever I kind of, you know, I was wanting to at that point connect with beings that meant something to me. Like I had already gone through a mystery school teaching with the divine feminine. So I was working with aspects of the divine feminine and they were showing up for me, different faces of the divine feminine, like Sekhmet, Isis, Kuan Yin, for example, these kind of feminine faces. But then I started connecting, or rather, all of these ETs started connecting with me. And at that point, I was like, hey, where do you guys fit into all of this? Because up until that point, I had no idea, right? Because I was just coming from it from a very human-centric position. Yeah, just as a human that's been on the planet having these spiritual miscellaneous experiences. But those guys figured into it. I mean, that was UFOs and that was sci-fi. And I don't know, it was all just like, it wasn't part of spirituality or my ideas about spirituality. Like my ideas about spirituality were like the divine feminine, shamanism, you know, that kind of thing. It was much more earth-based and divine feminine-based. It was like, what are you guys, how do you fit into the picture? And that was where my cosmic awakening began. And they started sharing things from their perspective about who we are as humans and what this planet is about. And they started telling me those stories about our cosmic origins. It was a lot to get my head around. But I knew, as you do, truth when you hear it. Because when you hear truth, your whole body lights up and you know it's truth. But the thing is that means that all the stories that you've been told, like we were saying earlier, all of that stuff, that junk in the trunk, all that ideas about evolution and about how, you know, it was like primitive, and, you know, we came from an ape and we're just like primitive and we're the most technologically advanced that, you know, we've ever been and all various different other versions. We're not as good as we are. Once you begin to understand things from their perspective, you realize, oh my God, that's just a load of rubbish. This planet is like billions of years old. And seen from their perspective, as we've already established, Gaia herself is her own being. She's a planetary being. She's got her own soul plan, right? We're here right now having a symbiotic relationship with her, but she's her own being with her own plan. We're in a sector of space where she's evolving and ascending, and we're receiving this light to help us evolve and ascend with it. Okay. But there have been other times on this planet where there have been other civilizations. And so anybody who's interested in those Lemuria or Atlantis, there were great ancient civilizations on the planet that existed, where the level of human consciousness was a lot higher than it is now, right? Where we were more spiritually evolved. And actually, we have been in a place of absolute density and ignorance for the last nearly 12,000 years on this planet, since the catastrophes of what is commonly called the Ice Age, but the Younger Dryas period, and the great floods and everything that happened on the planet and wiped out a lot of those traces of more ancient civilizations, but they existed. For a start, that's quite interesting. And many of us have actually had past lives either in Lemuria or Atlantis or both. And certainly I recall Lemurian lifetimes, and I recall some of the wars and some of the things that went on. So I've had many lifetimes on this planet already. And those become activated, those awarenesses become activated within me. So, all right then, we're not the tip of the spear. There have been civilizations on this planet before. And there's also been always what we would call extraterrestrial involvement in the planet. Because we think of this as our planet, right? But in reality, Homo sapiens sapien, according to, you know, the fossil record, has only been around for 200,000 years. Well, the planet is like 4.8 billion or something like that, okay? A lot has happened on Gaia, right? And this planet has always been visited by other beings. Other beings have lived here and has continued to be visited by other beings and it to this day. So even though we might think it's all just about us, No, it's a planet that is a living library, a living genetic library. And although I found this personally quite difficult to, I'm going to use the word stomach, hybridization, genetic experiments, this is the nature of things out there. The universe is teeming with life, and you can put life in different places, right? And see how it does. You can do a lot of exciting things in this universe. And so there are a lot of species, for example, that are master geneticists and that have a hand in DNA, for example. I just found this, as I said, I found this difficult. But our DNA, our human DNA, this is difficult and it's also exciting. Our human DNA isn't just human. Our DNA has within it what I like to think about as some of the best stuff from some of the most awesome beings that come from these star systems that choose to speak to me. And so we are, our DNA is like packed full of potentials for us to be able to activate and step into that bring the best of best into us. So we've got like cosmic parent, you know, we've got ET parentage. They've donated their DNA to us. Many of us, as once that begins to be activated, find that we have these relationships with these different types of ET that are helping us to evolve, to awaken, to remember. And that in itself is part of a bigger, grander plan for who we are as a species, as who humans are as a species. Because all the moment we're very sort of like we're in our goldfish bowl and we think that all that exists is in our goldfish bowl. But as soon as you step out of that goldfish bowl, you're like, oh, okay, yeah. And so they're outside of the goldfish bowl. But that's one of the reasons where you might read or you might hear we're getting so much assistance at the moment. There's so many beings whose eyes are on us to see what do they do? What do these little humans do, right? Do they activate this DNA? Do they activate this potential? Do they take their position, right? It's who they're designed to be. And the greater role and purpose that they've been seeded with. Now, this gets into sort of, again, murky terrain, murky for me, because I had a real kind of like, because a lot of this is to do with wars. And we don't like war. A lot of us feel very, you know, get a very heavy feeling around war. But there have been galactic wars, a very famous one. It went on for a very long time. And part of healing from that is we were seeded with some of the genetics from these different warring species so that as we in ourselves heal and love ourselves, heal our own shadow and transmute that, it ripples out across to all of these other beings. And so we heal a much greater collective than just ourselves. We are actually healing something on a far greater level for all of these other species. So this is part of our human design. This is part of the experiment, is that the more that we become one with everything else and we heal these parts in ourselves and we overcome our conquering, warring nature, this ripples out literally through the genetics of all of these other species as well, because we're connected with them. So humans have got a far greater and grander design and potential as a species, which I find just thrilling. But also I see as a kind of a greater responsibility to than just our own kind. One of you probably can come in and just share how that lands with you.
Can I go?
Maybe I'll ask you.
Yes, go for it. So I've been having really hard few weeks. It's been a really hard year for me, but the past 2 weeks have been hard. And I've just kind of been feeling like, I don't know what I'm doing here, like feeling a bit lost. And I didn't mean to cry, but it's almost like you sharing this has like reactivated something within me to understand the larger picture. And so it's like your purpose as far as that reminder. And so thank you for just sharing your story, because I needed something to remind me of what it is that, what's the purpose of all this? Why am I here? Like what is my path? And I want to thank you for just sharing your story. I guess a question I have for you is, how is this playing out in your day-to-day life in terms of sharing your gifts and your mission? Is it who you interact with on a daily basis that you're sharing, just like your essence and your knowledge and your wisdom? Or how can people work with you? Or what are the tasks that you're doing? You mentioned your role as like the tasks, right? And so I'm just curious what that looks like for you.
Well, at the moment, I'm very much in the mundane. I have a mother with Alzheimer's. I have challenging family relationships. And, I spend a lot of time in self-care. And what I've come to realize and learn myself is that I get activated and given tasks to do. And if I'm not given a task to do, that means I'm working on some aspect of myself. Maybe it's, I do a lot of clear, I'm involved in a lot of self-healing.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think that's a really powerful thing for people to hear as well, is that for some of us, perhaps when we've had our awakening journeys or our spiritual path may lead to bringing forth what we learn to share. And in other cases, it's a journey for ourselves, and there's no timing on that as well. Perhaps it is at a later stage in our lives. And then also you really speak to that, their healing is a massive part of this journey. And I know you've been on a really big healing path, and to even be here on our podcast today, if I had asked you a year ago, probably it wouldn't happen, And so kudos to you for the deep healing work that you've been doing, because, it's brought you to this place of strength and courage and resource, feeling resourced to share with us everything that you did. So, thank you for showing up for that journey. And what I wanted to ask too, is I know that you have got there, one of the channeled messages that you did receive early in your journey that, I wanted to ask, is this something that you have learned through this process that would be of value to share with our listeners that feels like it is pertinent for the times that we're in? And if you want to share that with us.
It's so funny because you don't know what it says.
No.
But when I share it with you, it's like the perfect thing to share after what you've just shared.
Okay.
And I've received scores of, really exciting transmissions. But actually, I wanted to go back to my first one. Mm-hmm. And this was in October of 2016, when the Arcturians paid me a visit. And if anyone has got any interest in this whatsoever, the Arcturians, they're just such a high vibration of love. And really are, I don't really want to use the word spiritual overseers, but that's the phrase that's come through. They are just divine. And so if you're interested in learning more about the Arcturians, you spell it Arcturian. All right. And you'll find things about them on the internet. Now, when I bought things through about the Arcturians in 2016, believe me, there wasn't that much on the internet. Mm-hmm. But I went with the incredible feeling that I felt when they first showed up and paid me a visit. So I'm just going to share with you what they, and this is my original from out of the book when they showed up. I do need a bit of light. Let's have a look. Here they say, all right, divine timing, show up, do the work. All things are divinely timed. Don't worry about time scale. Changes internally sometimes need time to show up externally. Some things are rapid, some things are slow. Some things will be easy, others appear hard until you get another piece. Not all pieces come in a logical order or sequence. It's a spiral, building on one level or turn, strengthens another level or turn until it's activated like the double helix. So I don't know if you can see, but there's my little drawing. And so what they were showing me is like you can have things drop in on different layers until everything is kind of completed. It won't all come overnight, but some of it will come even quicker. And that's just when, you just get this activation. It's just like, ding. Each of us are individuals with our own personal blueprint of experiences that can assist or hinder our learning process and the rate at which we absorb and embody these bit rates and packets of light coming through us. Now, that's quite timely, given we've just experienced all those beautiful auroras and the May gateway of light that's been coming into the planet. That's what they're talking about. This light that's coming in and that's activating our DNA. We are all in this ascension process together. It's just that some of us are more activated. It's just that some of us are more awakened and activated than others. Our light bodies are holding more data than others. We've assimilated more of it and it's more active and present. We are changing our vibrational frequency to absorb more light as we move from these denser, heavy energies into light beings able to work and exist in other realms, to walk between the worlds. The power of the shaman is in everyone. It's encoded in our DNA. That doesn't mean we're all going to quit our jobs and become healers. More that the gifts activated help your light body to assimilate and ground the new light frequencies coming our way, which will speed up our ascension process and better equip us to handle the changes taking place on our earth. The animals are going through the ascension process too. Everything is humming at a new energy or vibration. Our desire for things will fall away as we become more in tune with the light within us and how to keep ourselves feeling healthy and strong.
That's amazing. I want to ask you, when you brought that through, you said 2016, that was one of the first messages you channeled through from the Arcturians or channeled ever?
Oh, no, from the Arcturians.
Yeah.
So I'd already channeled, you know, like when I was, you know, I've told you in like 2015, when I was just sitting on the sofa and suddenly this thought, you know, there had been and poetry. The poetry and things would stream through me. So there's been all sorts of experiences where I've channeled, but in terms of ETs by name coming in, this was the first, the Arcturians. And it was just like, how cool is that?
And such a beautiful message to share as well. And I think perfect for literally like the month we're moving through, the exact time we're moving through, you know, for everyone listening to maybe listen to that again and let it really sink in, those words, because there was a lot in there that we can just hold in our awareness of what we are moving through. And as a human species, as a planet, as a larger collective of beings, what is going on within us, you know, if we're feeling out of sorts as well, that there is something happening here and we are shifting and changing, and to, you know, go easy on ourselves as well as we go through that process. And yeah, sometimes it might be fast, sometimes it might be slow, and it is what it is, and just be open to it all. Well, I thank you so much for sharing your incredible journey with us. There's so much more that we could have gone into, and perhaps in another episode we can come back and, you know, explore even more, because I think we've just started to scratch the surface. And I hope that for many who are listening, it does feel like the dish to sit with, to really like let yourself listen to, have a nibble if you wish, have a massive spoonful if you wish, let it digest, see how it sits. And, you know, as much like Ayu said through many moments there, you know, when we feel a truth in our body, just starting to recognize how does that feel in me? And, you know, there'll be times where you may not be ready to hear it and other times when you fully are. And much like that spiral you spoke of in that message, you know, I really think that that's such a beautiful image of our entire journey with the awakening experience, that, you know, let this be a piece that's come in and any part of that spiral to be the next time you hear something like this, you might come back to this conversation with like, actually so much more I can receive right now. And, you know, so much of what I just heard Ayu say feels validated again, because I've now had these other experiences, so that, you know, let this be the seed, let this just be something that you leave yourself open for. And yeah, there's so much more to who we are and what's going on here. And so Ayu, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and we'll wrap up here, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.